welcome to the YBMB show, the Your Body Means Business live show. Those of you who follow us, and there are quite a lot of you now, we just hit 30,000 views actually, will know that we do three subjects. We run this live Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays. Mondays, we talk about things to do with business, body, and Wednesdays, we talk about mindset, and Fridays, we talk about things to do with business. And sometimes I'm lucky enough to have a guest on to help me talk about the subjects of the day. And today's subject is about writing books and the benefit of that to business and careers. And so I really couldn't get anyone better to help me with that than Mindy Gibbons-Klein. So hi, Mindy. Thanks so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure to speak with you today, Angela.
So we've known each other quite some time, and let me just give a little bit of background about you from my perspective, Mindy. Mindy is a publisher and a founder of a company called The Book Midwife that I know, and you can tell us a bit more in a minute, Mindy, that has helped over 1,000 people to write their books. I first met Mindy when I decided I wanted to write my own book, and she helped me number one, inspired me to do it, and number two, helped me to do it. I saw her first speaking on a stage where I thought, you know, that sounds quite feasible and I'd love to work with Mindy. So I pursued her and she helped me write my book and then the second one. And it really, really helped the profile of my business at the time. And it gave me something very tangible to sort of give out and make a fantastic impact, which is what I wanted to do. And I think so many people in business want to do. So Mindy, without further ado, maybe tell us a little bit more about that, the general background, and then we can perhaps go into the technicalities of how to write a book and wherever else it takes us.
Okay, so my background was in marketing and coaching, and I was happily running my marketing consultancy and my coaching company when my first book came out. It's a long saga how we got to that day, but finally the book came out. This is my first baby, by the way, mm-hmm. A Dance in the Desert, for anybody listening to just audio. A Dance in the Desert was a pivotal moment for me because so many people say they want to write a book, but mm-hmm. they never even start it, much less finish. Mm-hmm. And what I found was through making all these mistakes, I was in a really good position to help people. So having gone through all the struggles, written the book, I was already running a marketing consultancy, and I understand, and I'm sure that the listeners and viewers understand that every product and service has to be marketed. Otherwise, it doesn't go anywhere. So I had that, and I had the coaching background as well to help and guide people because, as I say, most people never start. Some start, but they don't know what they're doing. They have a lot of self-doubt. That was me as well before I did it. And they really want to do a better job and do it faster. And if they don't do that, they quit. And that's such a shame because then those books never see the light of day. So mm-hmm. my goal was to help people make a really powerful start, help them answer all the big questions, help them make decisions about what kind of book it's going to be, the length, the style, the tone, the content, the balance, the use of stories, because for business people, they want to have credibility, and well, most of our clients want credibility for themselves and their business. So it's all of those goals and figuring it all out at the beginning. And I know you've done the program twice, so you know so much goes in at the beginning, the foundation and the framework and structure and outline that actually makes it easier to write. So that's how we got started. And that's still my passion, is do a proper foundation and make your life easier and end up with a better book.
Well, I think, you know, that's, firstly, a fantastic initiative to do that, because like we've heard before, you know, everyone has a book in them, but bringing it out, I love the name of your company as well, The Book Midwife, because certainly you do have to give birth to it and it is quite tough. And one of the things is that you need momentum. And I remember when I was on your program, you know, you sort of laid it all out. And I think very often, if you want to write a book, you know, you've got all these ideas and this content, but you seem to, well, from my own perspective, and I know some of the people around me as well, you know, you think the important thing is maybe the title or, you know, this sort of the main subject. But you taught us very much to think about your reader, you know, almost your avatar, who you're talking to, and a really fantastic way of breaking the subject down into what ends up to be chapters. And then, so getting some sort of good logic. And then the next thing is the momentum, isn't it? Because it's not easy to, even if you know exactly what you've got to write and you think it's just a question of just doing it, a bit like training, you know, physical training, the just doing it is the really difficult bit. So you really help with that as well, don't you?
Yeah, we've talked about this before many times. It's like having a personal trainer for your book. It's you know, if people can afford it, everybody would want to. Yeah. And that is, it depends how important it is to you. I went to the gym after I'd had personal training, but then I thought, I know what I'm doing. I hurt myself, didn't I? And this, my shoulder took about a year to recover because I did something the wrong way. And so I'm not, well, yes, you can do a book the wrong way as well, but let's not go there.
Yeah. Well, it's so fabulous, you know, for you as a writer when you've actually achieved it and you're a published author as such. I mean, that's a phenomenal milestone in anyone's life. So I can sort of vouch for that. And, but you, like I say, you can really do some great things with your business because it raises the profile of your business and you as a sort of an expert in your niche, doesn't it? So tell us a little bit more about that, because maybe business owners or people in businesses who are experts will think, yeah, you know, it sounds nice, but do people really read books? And, you know, secondly, I'm too busy. How am I possibly going to do it? I mean, what would you say to things like that?
Well, it depends how important it is to you. Just like anything in life, we do those things that are important where we have a high level of motivation. It's a high priority goal and we find a way to do it. I'm sure all the listeners would agree that the things they've achieved in their life so far, life, career, health, has been because it was important enough. And until it is, people don't do it. So that's the first thing I would say. Yeah. And I know I've said that twice now, but that level of motivation is key. And if somebody's kind of like, oh, well, my business coach tells me I should have a book, that's not a good reason. Or everybody seems to be doing a book. Don't do it because everybody's doing it. Do it because you feel inside that you would like to have the fulfillment of having written your own book that you're proud of and that is actually doing many things for people, teaching, inspiring, maybe entertaining. And it's sharing a piece of you with people who will never get to meet you. Can I talk about two or three benefits and show some of the books? So many people want to be speakers, professional speakers, public speakers. And it seems that there's more and more people who are speaking, want to be speaking. So how do the organizers choose speakers? We know for a fact, and we've seen so many studies and tested it ourselves, that the authors of good books, let's call them thought leading books, those authors are invited to speak more often than people who don't have a book or a great book, and they get a higher fee. And that is important to some people. So, you know, think about yourself. If you're impressed when someone's written a great book and you get to meet them, you read the book, you go, wow, you know, I would love for them to work with me. That's how the meeting organizers and conference organizers feel. I have to tell everybody about my best ever gig, that when my fourth book was coming out, it was my first book on thought leadership. And it was a real departure for me. It was a very exciting moment. And I asked the PR company to do extra work. So you do need PR and marketing, as we've said. So we put a lot of effort into it. They sent me a list of conferences and I said, get me into this one, this one, this one. I said, and the one in Hawaii. It was a bit of a joke. I was flabbergasted when we got the invitation from the governor of Hawaii for me to speak at the International Women's Leadership Conference, right when the book was coming out. Perfect timing. That was this book, 24 Karat Bold, which is my probably still my flagship book. Most people know about that book.
I've read that's great.
Oh my gosh, you've read that one. Yeah. 1,000 women and some men in the audience. Brilliant gig, all expenses paid, 3 nights at the Sheraton, time of my life. I'm still trying to replicate that gig. But that would not have happened if I hadn't published that book, because that was the hook. The book is a hook. And I wish I made up that phrase, but I didn't. I'll show you something that happened just last week. Jeremy Blaine brought out a book called The Inner CEO.
Yeah.
And The Inner CEO is, well, it's quite obviously Unleashing Leaders at All Levels, brilliant book. And we put so much into the launch day. I always say to authors and would-be authors, look, the launch is just one day. It's kind of like your wedding is one day, and then don't forget about the marriage. You know, the book launch was exciting, and he did so much publicity that he attracted three prospective clients who wanted to speak to him that day. He found the time and he closed all three clients on business that day. And, you know, we hear these stories, but everywhere I go, I hear people getting business from a book. So I'll stop there. I know there's so much more to talk about. I don't know where you want us to take the conversation, but wow. I have literally seen millions of book sales, millions of dollars and pounds coming from writing a book. And it's just so rewarding for everybody.
Well, I think, I mean, we can probably go into the technicalities of how to write a book and how to get started later on. But, you know, just continuing on the theme for the moment of the benefits from a business perspective when you do write one. And like I say, you don't have to own a business. You know, you can be sort of an entrepreneur. You can be in any sort of field, really, because this is, people write books on all sorts of niches, obviously. We'll come on to that as well. But from a PR perspective, I know when I launched my book, what I did was I had a number of offices all around the country. And so what we decided was we were going to hold mini launches of the book, you know, when we first brought it out. And that was so successful in terms of our community and our client base as well, and prospects, because, you know, it gave us an opportunity to invite them all along. They weren't high cost events either. You know, they were in all different places. One was even in a shopping center. And, you know, another one was in someone's office and one was just outside Waterstones, and the Waterstones people all came out. It was a great opportunity for us to really engage with our clients and prospects. And also the staff loved it as well, because we actually did sort of little mini competitions. So that was a great opportunity for us. And the other thing these days is that everybody is sort of trying to step up their social media content, and it gives you a lot to talk about, really tangible things to talk about, not in terms of a hard sell, but, you know, you can start to feature a paragraph, a chapter at a time. You can start to do an audio version, as I did. I put mine on Audible and then I started to read it, and then little excerpts of that went on to social media. So it gives you tremendous content, and it enables you to crystallize your thoughts as well in your niche, where, you know, they may be a little bit sort of nebulous up until that point, but it makes you, as you say, you know, you become a thought leader because you're forced to do that thinking as a result of writing it. And I think what can happen is that you set out to write a book about one thing, and because, you know, you have to do that thinking, you actually end up with either a different slant or even the book's on a different thing. I mean, what do you think of that?
Not always. Some people really stick to their plan. And yeah. So it depends. Some people are very precise and they follow the plan, and that's the book. The thing is, it does spark off different thoughts, ideas, insights, and you can end up with a lot more than a book. You and I know Penny Power. I always like showing this book. Business is Personal.
Yeah.
A really, really great book for anybody who's a founder of a business, or a solopreneur, or somebody thinking of having a business, because, you know, that was very important to her to get the message out. But what's happened since then, she's created another whole business based on it.
Yeah.
And I'm a member of her new business, which is called Business is Personal, funny enough. Yeah. And the scope is unlimited. This is the great thing. But most people really, you know, they've got their blinkers on, blinders for my US friends, and we don't see what's outside of that. We just see, well, you know, maybe I can produce a book next year or whatever, but having guidance, having, you know, all the possibilities still open is an exciting place to be.
And how do people sort of decide on subjects? Because a lot of people may be thinking, well, I'd love to write a book, but I don't really know what to write about. Who's going to want to read my book? You know, I'm a generalist. It needs to be highly technical. All of those things that people would probably hold people back. And I'm sure you've come up with lots of other reasons that hold people back. How do you think about what to write?
There are a lot of reasons, fears, if you want to call them that. Some are excuses because of the fear, you know, oh, I'm too busy. You know, nobody's too busy to do it the way we do it, which is very part-time. But the legitimate fear, I think, is, you know, I don't know what to say. And I don't want to make myself look stupid, and I don't want to you know, have be embarrassed in the market. That's legitimate. That's real. Yes. You do not want to put something out there that reflects badly on you and your brand. I get that.
Some people were petrified to even put one post out on Instagram, let alone write a book. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. So the way I explain it is, let's say you were going to have a baby. So to continue with the book midwife metaphor, it is very scary if you've never had one before and you're picturing all sorts of things, and meanwhile you're not even pregnant yet. And for people who go through IVF, this is our best analogy ever, is they really need a lot of guidance and handholding and you know what can happen and how to make it more successful and whatever. Not that I've been through it, but one of my sisters did.
Yeah.
And that's where we step in. So right at the beginning, I have 105 coaching questions that I can draw on. You've experienced many of them. And that is the key. You're not on your own. So my best advice to people watching and listening is don't assume you're on your own. Don't try to do it all yourself. Figure it all out yourself, because there are a lot of different ways the book could turn out. There are a lot of choices to make, decisions to make. And there are people who can help with that. This is the thing that's not known, because the thought of writing a book, people think, well, let me do what I can and then toss it over the fence to some editor who's going to fix it.
Yes.
That's not the way I would do it, because if you have done that, you've probably taken 9, 12, 15 months putting something together. And then what if that editor marks it all up in red and says, add this, change that, expand that, remove that, research this, and, you know, get rid of chapter 6 and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And it's just so demoralizing that most people won't do it. And so then the book never goes beyond that point. I think the better way to do it is partner with the right professional at the beginning. And our method has won many, many awards. Mm-hmm. It's just one of many ways to get help, but get help early. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that way you have more confidence as you go along as well. Exactly. I think that answers your question, because a lot of it is fear, uncertainty, and doubt.
Yeah. And if they can't think of a subject, or you can help them with those questions to sort of conclude what that subject is going to be. And the next thing as well is the sort of, you know, does there have to be a need for this book, or could it just be that you want to write it because you're interested in it and it is your contribution to the world?
I think you've answered the question, Angela.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and that is a need. That's an internal need. So it's very difficult to say what the market is for a book that hasn't yet hit the market. Any product, really. You might think, well, I'm going to do all this research, all these surveys. You know, the market research tells me, doesn't tell you anything, because there's 2.5 million books, 2.5 million books coming out every year. And they all want to find a home.
Yeah.
And they all want book sales, and they're not all going to be bestsellers. It's, you know, just statistically impossible. So I suggest to my clients that you just take a deep breath, just relax, take a step back, and understand what's important to you. So it could be what Angela just said. It could be, I just really feel I want to put this out there. This is my contribution to the world. That is a valid reason. If there is a business reason, then the book needs to be approached in a business-like way. I've had so many people who have come to me after the fact. So, you know, they've done what they can do. They've taken X amount of time and they've presented me with a book that was 800 pages in length or really off target or what. And then, you know, it's not fixable. So it goes back to thinking about these things in advance. And if you are serious about having a book that builds your business profile and brand and builds you as a business professional, then do it properly. Get the best help so you can create the best book so it can have its best chance in the market and give you the best ROI, return on your investment of time, effort, and maybe money.
Yeah, so on the money side, so some people may come along and they specifically want to write the book to actually make some money and create a revenue stream. What do you think about that in terms of motivation and the chances of them actually generating a reasonable revenue stream? And how do you go about it to actually try and make, you know, have a book that makes money?
Well, you can make money in lots of different ways. So I'll remind everybody that it's not just book sales that are going to contribute to that return on your investment. And where people focus too much on that, how many books have I sold today? and how much money have I made in royalties? And that's kind of sad because there's a whole lot more that can be done. There was a book here from, I don't have it in front of me. There are three clients I can think of who presented a signed copy, one book. I'm not saying they only ever sold one book, but one book that led to over £1 million or dollars of business from that one book, because they handed it to the right person. It convinced them to engage with them on the project, and away they went. So if you include that, the indirect revenue from the book, you're laughing, because, you know, imagine one book leads to that. Imagine if you sell 1,000 books, what you could have. And we hear this over and over again. Mm-hmm. I have had so many requests for speaking, joint venture opportunities, business opportunities, and new clients because of my books. Mm-hmm. They're out there, and I give and sell copies when I can. Apologies, yeah. Somebody keeps pinging me. Mm-hmm. And what I would like to encourage people to do is to think bigger. Just think bigger, because there's a whole lot more that you can do.
Mm. And so it's not really about having your book in Waterstones or on Amazon, although it's obviously nice to have that, because then that helps you with part of your credibility. But I know you're always a big advocate of carrying your book around, having it on your website, mentioning it on your profiles, and, you know, all of that. What do you think about writing a series of books? You know, because you do send to, do you find that when people write one, they want to write another and another and another, or is it?
Some people do. So we have three authors at Panoma who have written three books so far. Mm. But that's three out of 400. So yeah. Most people only ever write one, which is, I mean, even writing one is a big achievement, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's not necessary to write a series. I mean, this is business books we're talking about. In fiction, people love the series because they want to follow the story and the characters. It's a bit different with nonfiction. Sometimes one good, hard-hitting, groundbreaking, thought-leading book can achieve so much that that's the only one you ever need to write. Mm. Although most of the business authors I can think of, the big names, they have written more than one. I think just because you get the bug, don't you? I mean, you want to write loads, don't you?
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I was super enthusiastic. I think when I wrote the first one, I thought, right, this is going to be a series of six. Right. And I wrote two, and it was a bit more than, and to be honest with you as well, I think your thoughts do develop as you go along. And once I'd written the two, I thought, you know what, I've done that subject, but yeah, I'm definitely going to write a book about my current subject here, as you know, but that'd be for another conversation. But in terms of the length of the book, you know, because that could be another thing that sort of worries people, that they don't want to write an 800 page book, but they don't have to be that long, do they? In fact, they shouldn't be.
They shouldn't be 800. They shouldn't even be 400. And yeah. The books that we do are not even 300. So, you know, we've already taken it right down. I mean, this is one of the longer books that we've done, this one I've just shown, yeah. And it's only 240 pages. It's significant, it's substantial enough.
Yeah.
Enough. It's enough. It's what it needs to be. My latest book, The Thoughtful Leader, I think it only has 140 pages. Yeah. And yet it's brought me so many inquiries, so much business. It's as long as it needs to be. Does that help?
Yeah. So, and in terms of practicalities then, so with your program, people can get their book completed, I think, was it in 13 weeks?
Yes, absolutely. 90 days, 3 months, however you want to carve it up, from idea or many ideas to finished manuscript in 3 months, 90 days. Yeah.
And I mean, some people would say, oh, you know, do people really read books anymore? They're so busy reading blogs and, you know, listening to podcasts and stuff like that. What is readership like these days? Are people still reading books avidly? I know I certainly am, but I just wonder.
The overall book sales went up by about 1.5% last year during the pandemic. So some people read a lot more. Some people really had other concerns, you know, health, finance, whatever. But so it's not booming. However, it's changing shape. So more people are listening to audiobooks. So what I would say is when you're thinking of writing a book, remember that ideally that book is going to be in print in several formats of ebook and audiobook. And so we do six formats at Panoma, as you know. Yeah. And what we aim to do is reach all the markets so that there's nobody who would like to listen to or read that book who can't access it, make it accessible. And that's something to think about before you start, because, you know, if your book is going to be close to the 300-400 page mark, it's going to be a really, really long book for someone to listen to. And it has some all these implications. Also, it's going to be big and heavy to print and ship and carry in a bag, you know. So we try to get them to the sweet spot, which is about 160 to 180 pages. That's what we do. Mm-hmm. The academic publishers, they do the longer ones typically.
And how often are books translated into other languages as well?
Funny you should ask. Yeah. We did not plan this, guys. Yeah. Here's a book called Goodbye, Mr. X, which I think Angela knows the book, but it's about a woman's guide to moving on after a divorce or breakup. And the potential is usually larger than your home market. Mm-hmm. And this is not in the right order that they were published, but we got the Spanish edition.
Right.
The Polish edition.
Yeah.
The Chinese edition.
How interesting. They've all got different illustrations as well.
Oh, yeah. And what I would suggest is that the people listening and watching, you get your main version done. We only work with books in English. We then trust our publishing partners to take care of the other markets. They know those other markets. They know what's going to sell. I wish I brought the Malaysian edition in here. It's in the other office over there. But oh, it is so funny. It's got like pow, I can't remember what they called it. They called it, I can't remember. It was very, very funny. And they knew that would sell in their market.
They're representing the market.
Oh, I remember what it was called. Mm-hmm. It was called Kick Your Ex Out.
Oh.
So yeah, we saw that and we said, okay, you guys know what you're doing. But it was very funny.
Well, I think as well, it's really surprising when you look at your book sales. And I remember being really surprised when there was a big order of mine from South Africa. And then and I remember another time someone wrote to me from Nashville, Tennessee. And, she's actually continued to be a follower even with what I'm doing now. So you can reach parts of the world which you wouldn't expect to. And the purchases come from different places that you don't expect as well.
Yeah. And you don't know where that could lead. And one of our authors had an inquiry from Japan, and the person had read the book in English, but in Japan, and said, I want to work with you, and flew over to the UK. And, you know, just because of one person reading the book, these things happen all the time. It's so much fun.
Actually, you reminded me, I had a contingent from the US government come over, and we hosted them in the office, and it was all because of the book. And then I signed the book for them all, and they took it back. And then we had a China contingent come over as well. Again, very interested in the book. So yeah, I think it's just something very tangible. And as we said at the beginning, stamps your credibility. So so having whetted people's appetites about that, who are now keen to write a book, could we just leave them with, you've got this amazing program, so people can join you on that. We'll put a link in the notes and they can inquire direct with you. But give us a few sort of little hints and tips to get them thinking anyway, so that they can leave this with some action to take.
Sure. My best tip would be check in with yourself, because you're all good at that. And check in especially about your motivation level. I know now I've said it three times, because it's the most important thing. How much do you want it? Do you really, really want to have a book? Because yes, it requires some work. And if you really want it, I know you'll do it. The second tip would be, don't pin yourself down or narrow down your thinking too early. This should be liberating for a lot of people. Get a piece of paper out, or a Word document or something, and just put maybe at the top and play with ideas. Because where people get a bit silly and stressed out is where they think that when they write things down, they're making decisions. So I would say leave everything open until you're ready to narrow things down. Mm-hmm. And we love it when people do our programs, if everything is still open and maybe. Mm-hmm. Let me see if I have a third tip, because rule of three, you know. Mm-hmm. The third thing I would say is, do think about the very first thing Angela and I spoke about, which is why you would write it, the outcomes you would want. So motivation is a feeling. Outcomes are real events and things that can happen because you wrote the book. So what would you like to see happening? Is it media, like we were talking about? Is it speaking engagements and invitations? Is it new clients? Is it a pivot? Wondered when we were going to use that word, to get into a new area. And be clear on that, because at the minute the book's available, you want to move in those directions. That's my best advice.
Yeah, that's great advice. Well, okay, so those of you who, as I say, who know about the YBNB program, part of the USP of it, I suppose, is that, you know, I really take you back to basics in terms of your vision, not just for your body, but for your career and for your business. And by the time you finish the YBNB program, you've got total clarity on that. And so normally that does include things like raising your profile, creating a new personal brand. And if part of that then is writing a book, which I strongly recommend it ought to be, here we have a perfect opportunity for you to get some great help from Mindy and her her program. So we'll put the link in. And thank you so much, Mindy. I really appreciate you talking today. Beautiful day outside. Your garden looks gorgeous, I must say.
Thank you.
So I'll see you again soon. And anybody that is interested, you'll see the links in the notes.
Great. Great to spend time with you all. Thanks, Angela.
Okay, take care. Thanks, Mindy. Bye-bye.